Just as police officers are required to successfully graduate from an academy, and just as doctors attend medical school and endure residency, those who aspire to pastoral ministry attend a qualified seminary. So here's the question: what distinguishes a good seminary from the rest? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents his sixth and final message in a brand new series called Straight Talk for Seminary Students. Originally presented to the students and faculty at Dallas Theological Seminary, Chuck titled this final message, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Seminaries.
We should be clear about what we believe and stand there regardless of whether it's politically correct or culturally acceptable. We have an essential set of responsibilities, and pleasing our culture is not one of them. Ignoring the culture is not the answer either. So here again is the need for a balance. So you got the first one. Highly effective seminaries stay focused on what is essential. Number two, highly effective seminaries exist for the students, not the other way around. I'll say it again. Highly effective seminaries exist for the students, not the other way around. Today's seminary must continue to look for ways to remain student-friendly. That has not always been true at Dallas Seminary. We have not always had faculty who saw that as valuable. Thankfully, we have more now than ever, to my knowledge. And I love that. I don't care how brilliant any of you folks are, and I know all of you are that, or you wouldn't have the job you've got or the calling you've got. I'm going to quit calling it jobs. It's a calling. Your kindness is equally important as your scholarship. If you cannot be kind to us who are students, we're not going to get it. You exist for the sake of the students. You wouldn't have a place here if it weren't for students. And we have to keep that in mind. Highly effective seminaries, as they think about this, model grace and mercy and patience and understanding and tolerance toward the students. And I don't believe I can overemphasize that. We need not a thicker policy handbook or more rules and regulations. We need greater modeling of grace and mercy from those who are in administration and those who are our teachers. Seminaries that get the job done and are highly efficient exist for the students, not the other way around. Number three, highly effective seminaries have great-hearted board members. Now, here's where you wouldn't know because you're not with board members that much, and maybe you couldn't even name one of them. But when you get involved in the ministry of the seminary, you get to know some of the board members. And when you are closer to the president's office, you really get to know a number of them. And so you realize the importance of this. Great-hearted board members keep the big picture in mind. They are selected because they are visionary. They are in touch and unafraid of change. They make hard decisions, and they are people of prayer. These great-hearted board members hold the leadership accountable in important areas, and they have great latitude in non-essential areas. They don't panic when hard times come. They just pray harder. And they often give in greater measure. Great-hearted board members, one of the secrets. By the way, they are great-hearted because they have a great God. And they serve the Lord God All board members at Dallas Seminary are voluntary. They are not paid to be in that position. And it is a pleasure to know them and to have worked alongside them. Number four, highly effective seminaries prefer quality to quantity. I'll spell that out. Highly effective seminaries prefer quality to quantity. Being the largest is never our goal. You will never hear me refer to Dallas Seminary as to its size. As I said earlier, we're not in competition with some other school. However, being the best we can be is all important. Given the financial resources we have, given the faculty members we have, given our facilities and what we're able to provide, our goal is to be the best we can be. Having the most number of extensions is not a goal. It's not something we brag about. Having extensions in the best location is important. Offering the most degrees is not a goal. Offering degrees that are the most helpful for the students, that is a goal. Offering courses that best equip you for ministry, that is a goal. Highly effective seminaries prefer quality to quantity. Number five, highly effective seminaries select and retain an outstanding, enviable faculty. We select and we retain. Those are important words. An outstanding, enviable faculty. Men and women of great personal character. True scholarship. Moral purity. Ethical credibility. Yet at the same time, compassionate. True scholars who are both competent, skilled in their disciplines, yet still learning, still reading, still listening, still teachable. I love it when teachers say, I learned the most this year from our students whom I taught. It's a great characteristic of humility when I hear that. By the way, schools in the 21st century must have faculty who are willing to be also mentors. It's a good time for me to mention a book. Some of you have heard of it, others of you have not. Many of you have read it, I would imagine. But whatever, it's titled Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. Mitch is a sports editor at the time he wrote the book in Detroit. I don't know what he's doing now. But he was a graduate of Brandeis University, and while he went to Brandeis in Waltham, Massachusetts, he and Dr. Maury Schwartz, became fast friends. And Maury, not surprisingly, became Mitch's, not only his prof, but his mentor. Maury got Lou Gehrig's disease, and when Mitch found that out, read about it actually, he decided he would spend every Tuesday with his beloved prof and would be there till he died, every Tuesday. And he wrote the book, Tuesdays with Maury. Just a few words from the book, and I'll return to it as I close today, but listen to this. Mitch writes, I look back some time at the person I was before I rediscovered my old professor. So he's looking back on himself. I want to talk to that person. I want to tell him what to look out for. What mistakes to avoid. I want to tell him to be more open, to ignore the lure of advertised values. I like those words. To pay attention when your loved ones are speaking, as if it were the last time you might hear them. By the way, if I may add just something, and I add it only because it's been a new thing for me, I've learned to listen to my wife like that. I used to not do that. For 10 years, I didn't know that we'd make it. I was so careful with my words here. I was so blame selfish and self-serving. Thank the Lord I pulled out of that nosedive. But he said I want to pay more attention to the loved ones when they are speaking, as if it were the last time you might be hearing them. A few more comments. Mostly I want to tell that person, still talking to himself, to get on an airplane and visit a gentle old man in West Newton, Massachusetts. Sooner rather than later, before that old man gets sick and loses his ability to dance. I know I cannot do this. None of us can undo what we've done or relive a life already recorded. But if Professor Morris Schwartz taught me anything at all, it was this: there's no such thing as too late. By the way, that's not in a course these people teach. That's in their life that gets rubbed off from a mentor. Something's wrong if you leave this school and can only refer to profs and not name one mentor. One of your goals in being here is to ask the living God to link you with one of those lives, because I'm telling you, those are lives worth linking to, or they wouldn't be there. He taught me, if he taught me anything at all, it was that there's no such thing as too late in life. He was changing until the day he said goodbye. Love those words. Let me finish my list. Number 6. Highly effective seminaries attract and cultivate students who remain enthusiastic about and devoted to God's truth. I'll say it again. Highly effective seminaries attract and cultivate students who remain enthusiastic about and devoted to God's truth. When I left the school, I was 3 feet off the ground and motivated beyond words, and I still am. Every morning I get up, I cannot wait to do what's involved in ministry. I cannot wait to go up 19 steps to get into my study, or to get into my car and to scoot over to that place I love, or to go to a spot called Insight for Living and be involved, as I was yesterday, in recording audio and video stuff in the lives of people, knowing I have a chance to touch the world. What a privilege that is. Amen. It's just a privilege to do it. What's the matter with me? Starting to believe my own stuff here. You will discover here the joy of learning. Don't ever lose it. Don't ever lose it. You will have just the beginning of a world open up to you, and you've got your lifetime to keep opening it. Just keep open. And education is going from an unconscious to conscious awareness of your ignorance. So when you're here, you'll realize the vast amount of ignorance that's been going on, and it will humble you, and it should keep you humble, so that you don't minister in arrogance, you minister on your knees, grateful to God that he gives you a voice and gives you a place to minister, and people that were patient enough to listen to you and love you and forgive you and respect you and all that goes with it. We want students like that. You won't get it all here. You'll just get the seed plot. You'll just get the little rootlets starting. And you'll become aware of the books to read. And you'll become discerning in how to spend your time. And you'll make bad mistakes, and you'll learn, I can't keep doing that. I got to stop that. and you'll learn how to stop the leaks in your time dike. And you'll learn how to make the most of the time you have. And you'll learn to stop complaining. Nobody wants to be around somebody complaining all the time. And ministry will give you stuff to be thrilled about or complain about. And congregations don't deserve that. Your counselee doesn't deserve that. Your fellow elder doesn't deserve that. They need to know how thrilled you are with Jesus. And you got it all started while you were right here. And if anyone ever stops to ask you, where do you pick up that kind of excitement? Come right back here, hopefully. I got it to start with right here. I saw it in a prof, or I was around it in chapel, or I witnessed it in a fellow student, or we had a cluster of people in our group, and it was just fabulous. Just fabulous. We got friends that we went to school with here that are still friends. They'll be friends forever. I'm just about live forever, so they'll be friends for the rest of our time. And I'm grateful for each one. Highly effective seminaries attract and cultivate these kind of students. Become that. Don't come to just get a degree. You can do that anywhere. If that's your plan, don't come here. But you want to come here to get your life changed and deepened and on a course toward a lifetime of ministry that you can be grateful for, and I mean this in the right sense, proud of. You know what I mean by that. This is a spot. This is a place to do it. Our track record's pretty good about that. And you can be a part of that and love to have you do that with us. Number 7, highly effective seminaries have dreams that are greater than their memories. They aren't stuck in some particular era. The school isn't great because it was great in 1960 to 63. It was great then, but it's not great now because of that. It's great because it's great now. Schools like this have not stopped risking and reaching. Our dreams are greater than our memories. They pray that their vision will never be hindered by the hurdles and the obstacles. We respect what was, but we do not let that blind us to what might be and a new way of doing it. I would challenge our faculty to think of creative ways to teach that same course and just do it in such a way that it surprises you. And it's a creative approach. Final words back from Tuesdays with Maury. These are touching words. This book was largely Maury's idea. He called it Our Final Thesis. Like the best of work projects, it brought us closer together, and Maury was delighted when several publishers expressed interest, even though he died before meeting any of them. The advance money helped pay Maury's enormous medical bills. And for that, we were both grateful. The title, by the way, we came up with one day in Maury's office. He liked naming things. He had several ideas, but when I said, how about Tuesdays with Maury? He smiled in an almost blushing way, and I knew that was it. After Maury died, I went through boxes of old college material, and I discovered a final paper I had written for one of his classes. It was 20 years old now, and on the front page were my penciled comments scribbled to Maury, and beneath them were his comments scribbled back. Mine began, "Dear Coach." His began, "Dear Player." For some reason, each time I read that, I miss him more. Have you ever really had a teacher? One who saw you as a raw but precious thing, a jewel that with wisdom could be polished to a proud shine. If you're lucky enough to find your way to such teachers, you will always find your way back. Sometime it's only in your head. Sometime it's right alongside their beds. The last class of my old prof's life took place once a week in his home by a window in his study, where he could watch a small hibiscus plant shed its pink flowers. Class met on Tuesdays. No books were required. The subject was the meaning of life. It was taught from experience. The teaching goes on. It's the greatest honor of my life to be linked to Dallas Seminary. And the fact that I would keep being invited back and to meet friends that I've known for years, to stand and look at this skyline I looked at when I was in my 20s, and to remember the years that had passed, and the heartaches and the heart-throbbing ecstasies of ministry. I tell you, it's great. I want that for you. I want you to come to the place where you are, in the words of Charles Wesley, lost in wonder and love and praise. It was here I learned the great hymns, thanks to our chaplain, Richard Sumi, and others. It was here I learned how to pronounce big words that were good theological words that I would teach our congregation. It was here I learned the languages that I treasure. I'm in the languages every week, and I love it. I'm not nearly as competent as these faculty members are, but they've taught me just enough that I can use them to add color to what I'm presenting. And when I come back on campus, say, great to be greeted, they'll say, great to see you, good to have you. And I'll usually say, it's great to be anywhere. Especially here. If God leads you to come on board, come to stay. Don't come for a year and bail out. Finish what you start. Get her done. With your whole heart, get it done. You'll look back and never regret the price it took, you had to pay to make it happen. Because I'll tell you, there is a price connected to it. It's hard because ministry's hard. But it's wondrous because ministry is wonderful. It's wonderful. Lord, our hearts pant for you. Like a deer in the forest pants for water. We love you dearly, and we want you to know that. Some are just learning how to do that. Others know exactly what that means. For some, it's a foreign thought, but it won't be for long. I pray that you will use these words as memory catch points when our heads sink into the pillow tonight and in the days ahead, and we work through the decision of what we should do. Have your way in each person's life who is seeking your mind for his or her future. And then be glorified, Father, with that decision, whatever it may be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And with his closing prayer, we conclude this brand new 6-part series from Chuck Swindoll. It's called Straight Talk for Seminary Students. All 6 of Chuck's presentations were delivered in the chapel at Dallas Theological Seminary. In the event you missed any portion of this series, Remember, you can easily catch up by listening to the programs at our website. You can also copy and paste the link in order to share Chuck's message with a friend. Just go to insightworld.org. At Insight for Living Ministries, we understand that a growing segment of our audience consists of those who serve a local church as pastors or volunteer in some capacity at their church. To that end, we appreciate your contribution to support this cause because you're helping us strengthen the local church. We are especially grateful for monthly companions who come alongside us with consistent monthly gifts. And if you're among them, thanks for giving generously so others can benefit from Chuck's Bible teaching, just as you have. Because of the critical financial need, Insight for Living Ministries is looking to add more members to the team. Signing up is rewarding because your regular giving will truly make an impact. To become a monthly companion right now, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easier to follow the simple instructions at insight.org/monthly companion. To say thank you to our first-time monthly companions today, we'd like to send you a brand new book Chuck has written. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? Each of the chapters in this book addresses a specific problem, such as pain, loss, and loneliness. So when you become a monthly companion today, request the book called What If God Has Other Plans? Again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll launches our next series, this time on Searching the Scriptures. Be listening Tuesday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Seminaries, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.